Good morning. This morning's message is going to be a little bit different. We're going to transport you through time and space. So if you would, everyone just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. We're going to get our imaginations going for a little bit this morning. Close your eyes. Let's imagine this. Imagine you are at a business convention. You're at a business convention on the coast of Israel in the middle of the first century. You're on the coast of Israel, middle of the first century. You're at a business convention. Now let's welcome our opening session speaker, the president of our illustrious Stone Sellers Guild, Jacob, son of Jacob, or Jacob Jacobson.
Well, good morning. I want to welcome you all to the annual Stone Sellers Convention here in beautiful downtown Caesarea at the majestic Caesarea Palace. I hope everyone had a safe journey to get here. I know making this trip each year can have its hazards. Those of you who came by sea had to worry about shipwrecks on rocky shores. And those of you who came by sea or traveled by foot had to contend with the always annoying pebble in the sandal. Now, I have just a few business matters to get out of the way, and then I'll get to the topic that I know that you are all concerned about. First off, the subcommittee on nicknames has ruled out stoners as a possible nickname for our guild. As you can imagine, the connotations are kind of negative, and as those who supply the stones for stone throwers, we want to maintain a righteous profile. Second, an addition to this year's list of professional guidelines has been made by the Child Safety Committee. The guideline now recommends that children under the age of 13 should never, ever be sold a stone without parental permission. And only size-appropriate stones should be sold. We need to remember, folks, that these are future customers, and we don't want to injure developing arms by having them try to throw a stone that is too heavy for the little arms and hands. Also, third, Joshua, the son of Emmaus, has reported the reins to his chariot as stolen or lost. If you see them, or have seen them, please report them to the convention security office. In the meantime, Joshua, the security office... Nobody told me about the breeze here in beautiful Caesarea coming on off the ocean... In the meantime, Joshua, the security staff here wants you to know that in their search for your property, they will, and I quote, leave no stone unturned. Like we've never heard that one before, have we, folks? Now, fourth, I know that many of you are far from home and family, but regardless of what you've heard, what happens in Caesarea doesn't really stay in Caesarea. So let's behave this week. And finally, the Architectural and Real Estate Guild has sent us a friendly reminder that those of you looking to build or buy new houses should avoid glass houses. Now, let's recite our motto. Words will never hurt you, and sticks may break your bones, but stones will surely kill you, as God intended. Amen. Now, to the main item of this year's convention, as you all know, I've been in this business for a long time, and I've heard all of this nonsense from the anti-stoning lobby before. But I'm sure I don't need to remind you that ours is a noble and historic profession. Remember our slogan, stones don't kill people, stone throwers kill people. Yes, there are those who like to say that our profession is inhumane, but just imagine for a moment what it would be like if people tried to practice stoning without the guidance of a licensed stone seller. I'm sure you've heard the horror stories. People try to use stones that are just too small, and then it takes hours to put someone out of our misery. How is that humane? Or they try to use stones that are too big for them to throw and the stone only goes a few feet and the offender has an opportunity to get away. Now, where is the justice in that? No, you don't need to be ashamed of our glorious profession. We are a key link in the chain that keeps the law of Moses enforced. Now, I know that many of you are discouraged by the recent downturn in business, and we all know where it began. I might remind you that I was there on that fateful day. It was a gorgeous morning, kind of like this, but it was just after dawn, and there was still a little chill in the air, but a gentle breeze promised a beautiful day ahead. I was just opening my stall when suddenly I had a mob of customers, all men, both young and old, demanding to buy my best stones. Apparently, both a man and a woman had been caught in adultery. I immediately thought, this is why we don't have buy one, get one sales. Am I right? But then to my disappointment, only the woman had been grabbed and brought out, and I thought this was curious, but demand was so great, I didn't have time to think much more about it. Now, even though my inventory was high that day, I quickly sold out, and I decided to go and check things for myself. Now, for reasons unknown to me, instead of taking the woman outside of the city gates to stone her, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought her before that deluded heretic, Jesus of Nazareth, in the temple courts. I looked around at the group, though, with professional pride. Each one carried a stone from my shop, and I could see that they were all outfitted with a stone appropriate for their grip. Remember, as stone sellers, we don't just sell rocks. We sell quality stones that are cleaned of any mud and dirt and then chiseled into a deadly projectile. Now, you may have heard different reports about what happened, but I was there, and you can trust me to tell the truth. One of the religious leaders asked Jesus this question, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law, Moses, commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" Now, I'm a businessman, not some religious professor. I work for a living. I have no idea why we were wasting our time getting this man's opinion. Sure, I too had heard about his supposed miracles and his profound teaching, yada, yada, yada. But even my cousin Zacchaeus from Jericho kept raving about him in all his invitation letters, as if I'd go to dinner at a tax collector's house. But let me tell you this. This man wasn't much to look at in person. Why are these celebrity types always shorter in person? You ever notice that? Well, he looked like he couldn't even bruise a reed. And I really don't know why anyone thought he was such a big deal. But there we were. The religious leaders kept pestering him for an answer, but he wouldn't answer them. It was driving me crazy. This kind of event could have really brought about a revival to our profession. There are so many sinners in our midst, right? Jerusalem really could have used a good purging of adulterers and the like, and my retirement fund could have really used the extra cash flow. But finally, after what seemed like hours, but I'm sure it was only a few minutes, Jesus bent down and he wrote something in the dirt. I couldn't make out exactly what he wrote, but it kind of looked to me like a list of sins, but I'm not really sure. Finally, after a lot of shouting from the crowd, Jesus stood up, and the crowd got very, very quiet, deadly quiet, the best kind of quiet in my opinion. Finally, he said, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And then he stooped down and he started writing on the ground again. And it went from being deadly quiet to a deafening silence. And then I heard a thud. And then another thud. And then another, as each one of them, the older ones first and then the younger ones, dropped their stones. Now, I have to tell you, I was very conflicted at that moment. On one hand, I was excited by the prospect of gathering up the stones for resale. Now, that's a two-for-one bargain I can get behind. But then I also understood that this idea of only the sinless throwing stones was going to be very, very bad for business. And indeed it was. At last, Jesus stood back up and asked that woman if no one was left to condemn her. And barely audible, she whispered, "No, no one." Now, I can tell you, I wanted to shout out, "I'm still here. I condemn you. And here's my stone to prove it." But I couldn't do it. And I was really devastated. For a while there, things were really tight. But then there was a glimmer of hope. Our Sanhedrin took matters into hand, as most of you know, and had Jesus crucified. Now, I would have preferred a good old-fashioned stoning, but it was better than nothing. And at least Jesus' message of so-called love would be silenced. But it was too good to last. First came the lies about his resurrection, and then thousands and thousands of people were deceived and bought into that ridiculous notion of a risen Savior. Business was non-existent. I thought I was going to have to join the stonemasons. But then a hero emerged. It began with that blasphemer, Stephen. Saul of Tarsus knew that problems like Stephen were nothing a good stoning couldn't fix, and he gave his approval to have him stoned. And then for a while, we were in our salad days again, as Saul led a great movement against Jesus' followers. But so often, no good thing lasts forever, and our hero Saul became that traitor Paul, and the prices of stones fell once again like, well, you know, a rock. And as we've seen, Paul took Jesus' teachings to the whole Roman world. People keep talking about forgiving sinners and loving your enemies and the like. Now, I do have it on very good authority from Jason, son of Jacob, that Paul himself was stoned in Lystra. That's what I call poetic justice. Unfortunately, Paul survived, but I've heard he hasn't been quite the same since. He has vision troubles, and he keeps babbling on about being caught up to heaven. Right. And I'm sure in time his teachings and his writings will all be forgotten. So friends, I want to encourage you. All is not lost. People are fickle, and soon enough, in one way or another, they will want to throw stones again. And who will be there to provide those stones? We will. Love can't endure. Grace is just a fad, isn't it? People long to judge one another. They enjoy gossiping and saying mean things like "raka" and "you fool." So in time, those mean words, those judgmental words, those harsh words will turn into action, and stones will fly again. So take heart. Our business is built on a solid foundation of condemnation. Now, a couple of things before we're done. I want to remind you that it is against our ethical code to make false accusations in order to stir up a good stoning. However, passing along some important news about certain vices is not only commendable, but good for business. And in case you're interested in future trends and possible side ventures, I've heard some interesting things coming out from the boys in research and development for dealing with heretics. I really can't say too much right now, but let me just say investments in large wooden stakes and firewood might be a good hedge against further downturns in business. Well, thanks. You've been a great audience. Enjoy the convention. Have fun this week, but whatever you do, don't get stoned. Good afternoon, everybody. Have a great day.